There's no such thing as a quiet conversation in a noisy pub or restaurant. What may have started out as an intimate discussion can quickly evolve into an escalating shouting match in order to be heard over the raucous din. Well, it turns out that some songbirds face a similar problem. They don't all have the luxury of living in pristine wilderness. For some, noise pollution is encroaching on their habitat. Still, it's critical that their songs be understood. After all, finding a mate and finding food are at stake. Well, new research by Dr. David Wilson from the University of Windsor has found that red-winged blackbirds have a solution. When life at the side of a busy highway gets too loud, they simply change their tune. Dr. Wilson, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thank you for having me, Bob.
Why were you interested in studying the effect of traffic noise on songbirds?
There was really two motivations. My co-author, Dalal Hanna, was very interested in conservation biology, and we all know that human-generated noise is reaching more and more animal populations. And so I think it's our responsibility to understand what sort of effect that has on the animals that are being exposed to the noise. And the other motivation, which was one that I was really interested in, was more theoretical, to do with animal communication. And I've always been interested in how animals cope with challenges to their communication.
Why did you choose the red-winged blackbird?
The red-winged blackbird is sort of the perfect candidate. It's certainly not an animal that is going extinct anytime soon, but it meets all of the criteria. It produces songs in order to attract mates and defend territories, and it lives in both types of habitat. It lives in highly polluted, noise-polluted habitats along highways, but they also live in pristine marshes deep in the forest where they're not disturbed by noise.
What were you trying to find out?
So we were really interested in whether or not traffic noise, or human noise of any sort really, but traffic noise in our case, whether that affected the way that they sang their songs, the actual structure of their songs.
How did you do the experiment?
So there was really two parts to the experiment. In the first, it was an observational study based on correlation. And so we compared the structure of songs of birds living along highways to the structure of songs of birds living deep in the forest where they were not disturbed by noise.
When you say structure of songs, what do you mean?
There's a lot of different features of a song that can potentially vary, especially in response to noise. The duration of a song can change, the amplitude of a song, the frequency, the pitch, how noisy it sounds, so whether it sounds more whistle-like or more noise-like. And then we simply compare the two different populations of birds that we were comparing.
Well, what did you see when you compared the songs of those by the highway and those in the marsh?
Well, it was a bit of a surprise. In most other studies that have looked at the effects of human noise, they find changes to the duration of signals or to the amplitude of the signals or to the minimum frequency of the signals. We didn't find any of that. Instead, we found a difference in how tonal the signals were.
What do you mean?
The best I can do to illustrate it is imagine a continuum of sounds. At the one end, you have random noise, like ksh, something like that. And at the other end, you have a tonal whistle, like something like that. The trill sound of the red-winged blackbird falls closer to that first noise, the random noise. And when they are exposed to traffic noise, they shift the structure of their songs more towards the tonal whistle.
Wow. Now, why would they be doing that?
There's a number of possibilities. One could just be that they are disturbed by the noise and that there's no real adaptive benefit to making these changes. But another possibility is that more tonal signals are easier to detect in a noisy environment.
Oh, sure, because it's going to stand apart from noise, whereas noise would just blend in with noise.
Exactly. A whistle concentrates the energy in the sound into a particular pitch. And so other birds are able to pick that out of the background noise much easier than if it was a broadband noise.
Why? So it's almost like the birds become more musical when it gets noisy.
In a sense, yes.
How does this improve their communication abilities with other birds?
It's only speculation at this point, but most likely it allows them to communicate over greater distances in noisy environments. And these songs are produced only by the males. And the two main purposes are they defend their territories against other males and they attract females. And in both cases, it's very important that those other males and the other females actually hear the songs.
So you did, first of all, you just did the comparison of the two. Now, did you take it any further than that?
Right. And there's a number of previous studies with other species that have adopted a similar approach where they compare two populations, one living in a noisy city versus one living in the quiet countryside or beside a highway versus not. And that's what we did in the first part. But the problem with that approach is that it's based only on correlation. And so in our case, we found a difference in song structure between the two populations, and that could be due to the noise that the traffic produced. But it could also be due to something related to the noise, such as the fact that there was a highway passing right through the backyard of the one population and not the other. So it might not have been the noise. It might have been something related to the noise. And we really wanted to isolate the effects of the noise on song structure.
So how did you determine that?
So to test that, we actually ran a second experiment where we went deep into the forest to an undisturbed marsh, found red-winged blackbirds that had never experienced traffic noise, and we began recording their songs to get a baseline, and then we actually broadcast white noise, which simulated traffic noise, through a loudspeaker. And so we were able to record their songs both before, during, and after the experimental broadcast of white noise.
Okay, so you got these birds that haven't heard traffic. What happened when you brought the traffic to the marsh?
Precisely the same thing that we observed in the correlational study, which was that birds changed their song during the production of white noise. They made their songs more tonal, more whistle-like.
Wow, did they do this right away?
They did it instantly. So the songs before the playback were less tonal, and during the playback were more tonal.
And what about afterwards?
Less tonal.
They go back to it again.
Yeah.
So it really is the equivalent of raising your voice in a noisy environment to be heard.
Yes, and that's one of the interesting things, I think, is that there's a variety of strategies that animals use for coping with environmental noise. The one that we're all most familiar with is, as you mentioned, raising our voices. It's known as the Lombard effect. And if you're in a cocktail party, people raise their voices to be heard. Chickens do the same thing. And there's a number of other strategies, too, that animals use. But it hasn't been well documented that animals change the tonality or make their songs more tonal. And that's what we've shown here.
So do you think that the birds that are living beside the highway would go back to their natural call if the traffic stopped?
I think that they would, but I think at the same time, there are permanent or at least very long-lasting differences between the populations. These birds have been experiencing this noise for many, many generations. And so I think that there probably are permanent changes in these populations because they stay at the same marshes for long periods of time. They're quite territorial. And so I think that there are slight permanent differences between roadside and non-roadside populations, but at the same time, they maintain some flexibility to deal with sudden changes in background noise.
Dr. Wilson, thank you very much for your time.
It's been my pleasure. Thanks for having me on your show.
Dr. David Wilson is a postdoctoral research fellow in the Department of Biological Sciences at the University of Windsor. Coming up, making a microscopic motor.